boys are usually raised to detach from emotion because emotion makes you weak. So we as men, because I'm a man right now, I've had to detach from my emotions so that I can operate in a way that society does not call me weak. So I have to talk with my spouse in a way that seems like I'm in control.
What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense. I am Tavares Ferguson, a.k.a. Ferg, joined with my co-host, Buff and Rizzy. Rizzy and Buff, fellas, tell them what's on your mind.
I don't know how to say his name, but M.A. Aduko, or however you say it, the Boston Celtics head coach. Brother found out what many other brothers find out whenever they mess up with their lady. That it's a line of brothers waiting on you to mess up so they can slide right on in your place. No matter how used to her you are or how sick of her you are, somebody else look at her like a brand new shiny car. Everybody been shooting their shot, yelling ISO, ISO, from congressmen to every brother on Twitter down there, man. So Nia Long has been getting a lot of love. I know by now, Inspire You podcast listeners, y'all have heard the news of the Boston Celtics head coach and Nia Long and how he got suspended for a season for having sexual relationships with, I believe it's two. I know it's one, but I've been hearing that it's at least two women on the Celtics staff. And I just read that one of the ways they got caught was the husband of one of the women heard a conversation on the Ring camera. I don't know how true it is, but some reputable outlets have reported that. So, interesting. I haven't lost sight of the fact though that Brett Favre stole millions from poor people. So, while this news has been entertaining,
I think ESPN didn't ESPN just break that story today?
They finally said. And I don't know if they said it on the TV Sunday. Network. They just dropped an internet headline.
By the way, today is Sunday, September 25th. This happened, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago?
It broke. It happened, over a year ago?
It broke. Yeah, that's what I mean. It broke about a week and a half ago. But ESPN just broke that news, just in case you didn't. You didn't know.
Just like, fine, yeah, man, we'll say something. Damn.
Is it, I don't know, is it that they can't really tie it to him? Like, because nothing in the text messages really say, I know that you're stealing from the welfare folks, because they did code it pretty well. And so they don't want to, like,
one of his messages pretty much says that almost word for word. Like, the media is not going to find out about this, is it? So, yeah. But that's all I got, man, with the Celtics coach.
Even with that, I mean, it still is a headline. Even if they were said Brett Favre is under investigation, like, they haven't talked about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
because it happened. That's the part about it, is like, they're acting like it didn't happen. But we know that millions of dollars were stolen from the welfare recipients. Happened. That's not even a thought.
And the frustrating thing is, there are people that work on ESPN. Like, I think it was Booger McFarland, one of the former NFL players. He tweets, why hasn't ESPN said anything about this? Fool, you work for say something, brother. You work for them. So,
but I feel like there's like gag orders on things they can talk about, man, until it's released. But I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you go, Rizzy, to piggyback what you were saying and kind of tie in Brett Favre. Cheating is bad, but it's not illegal. And Rizzy is on you.
Love it. Love it. That is true. So what is illegal is stealing from poor people, right?
Yeah, brothers committed a crime. Like, you thinking he... Man.
Yeah. And I like what Stephen A. talked about that. You know, he got on there. He was like, you know, yes, cheating's bad. He should have been suspended and all that. But don't act like this is the first time that that's happened inside. It was a consensual relationship. Like you said, there was nothing illegal about it. It went against their ethics clause. And how often does that happen and we don't hear about it? The person quietly goes away, or they you know, part ways from the organization. They do all that, but they don't drag them through the mud. They don't go through and actually make it this public thing. And so I agree with Stephen A on that. It's like, it looks a little bit fishy to me that when a black coach, you know, goes through this, it's all on the headlines and everything like that. And most times it's, you know, oh, well, something's happened. It's a personnel matter. We're not going to talk about it. But for some reason, this became headlines and it got leaked out of, you know, that organization. So I'm really on Stephen's A side about that one.
I hope they'll win a whole game this season.
are y'all sick of the think pieces that already on this subject?
On which part? It's because it's two parts on the stuff. It's should he be suspended for that long? The whole NFL thing, and how could somebody cheat on Nia Long?
That's probably the stupidest one.
Yeah, yeah. Or not just how could they cheat on Nia Long? All women can get cheated on now. Like, you know, all women couldn't get cheated on before. It's like Nia Long and Beyonce got cheated on. They got this long list of women that got cheated on. And so those think pieces are really pissing me off. Like, okay, so, we understand it. There's cheaters out there.
Yeah. So this is not to pass the buck on him cheating. Right. We about to do a think tank on this real quick, aren't we?
No, we're doing a think piece on the think pieces.
Okay. Yeah, the big piece. So it's, I'm not trying to make this women do it so men can do it. It's not that. It's just people realize that once you get past the glitz and glamour of any relationship, there's real life. You know, the Nia Long that everybody sees as this, you know, beautiful woman, the Beyoncés. Somebody else has gotten used to them and normalized them. Not in a bad way. Not saying they don't appreciate them, but that's anybody. It's, you know, women who date millionaires and billionaires, or, you know, it's always people can find fault. People can be unhappy, not blaming Nia, not blaming anybody. It's just like, I don't know why people just, they idolize people and put them on a pedestal and think they are above things that happen. You know, after she's Nia Long and she gets off the, you know, out in front of the camera, she's, you know, Nia to him. Mm-hmm. you know he's not infatuated with her the same way that we are. That's why they said never meet your idol,
right?
I mean, never meet your hero, right?
She's waking up with drool and crusted eyes, you know, and the bonnet on and all that. So
y'all call her Nia, her family call her Junebug. Like, you just never know. Like, it could be that stank. You know, like, it's she's not this person to everybody. And not to belittle her, I think she's awesome, a beautiful woman. But I just encourage people not to think that everybody's not a part of this thing called life. And it's funny because it's been a lot of...
I just wonder what she did to make him cheat.
Oh man, I don't know. Who knows? Oh, you ready? You choosing violence. You choosing violence.
You know, and I know Teresa's, I pissed some people. Gonna listen to this episode. You gonna catch it after this. Yeah.
I know there's some people mad at me. I responded to a comment just basically like, at what point, why there's only two things that are really I guess unforgivable, or there's no exception to the rule, and it's cheating and abuse, right? And I always wonder, and I agree those things are horrible, not downplaying, but it's like there's so many other things that we should put on that level where it's just like you can't make an excuse for it. like if you're just evil and vindictive or whatever, like, but you don't cheat, that doesn't make you a good, just because you didn't cheat didn't make you the better spouse. Like, that didn't make you the better person, the relationship. And it's like, well, just leave. That's always the simple answer, but we always know it's not that simple, you know? So I'm not excusing him. I'm just saying I want people to start questioning and have real conversations about other things that should be unacceptable in relationships and letting people get away with those things. And maybe, you know, maybe people stop cheating as much, you know?
It definitely shows how vain we are too, man. Like, I said the whole how could you cheat on me alone thing was probably the stupidest think piece, but it also, it just shows how we are as a society. Like, how could you cheat on me alone? Why? Because she's beautiful, because she's pretty. So if she was mediocre or she was less than average in looks, then it would be like a little more acceptable. Like, you give it, when I read that, it's giving off like, well, once you have somebody beautiful, that should be good enough to you. Okay, well, there are other beautiful women out there. So if beauty is the only thing that you think is going to keep your marriage safe, then you're not safe, because there's always going to be somebody that looks just as good or better than you. So
and
plus all the other examples we have, Beyonce, Halle Berry, like, we've seen beautiful women get cheated on before. It's nothing new. One last thing.
But I will it goes say back this. To, I think.
Oh, my bad. I just want to say this because somebody
made go.
Somebody made a meme. They had Beyonce. They had her, some other lady, X'd out. And then they had Michelle Obama on there saying, like, she's next. And I'm going to say this right now. We cannot afford to let Barack Obama ever get caught cheating. Black women done with us. If he cheats on Michelle, it's over for us. It's over.
Yeah.
Ain't none of us ever been getting trusted again, dog. So if you ever see Barack out there doing something he shouldn't be doing, we as a male society got to help him hide that.
I'm busting it like that. You know. You
know. Take one for the team. Oh, man.
But now we've laughed about it, man. It definitely is a serious situation. Woman apparently like made travel arrangements for Nia, so it's a messy situation, man. But that's all.
Yeah, I hate to see it, you know.
Yeah.
I want people to be happy and survive. Black love, I love it, but there's a reason, you know, he probably didn't pull the trigger. That's a whole nother conversation.
Mm-hmm. I love how they describe her as long-term fiance. Like, man,
that's living special friend,
right?
You know, you go to a black funeral. Well, he had his special friend of a lifetime, Nia Long. You know, they don't get married, so I guess that's the new age special friend.
Definitely.
Really quick though, just came back. Have either one of you guys seen The Woman King?
I have not yet. I've been trying to get away, but haven't had a chance to.
I haven't, but I've heard
it is
great things.
And they're all deserved. It's well deserved. So first of all, The Woman King is just a title. So get past that. You know, it's like the Black Panther. Every Black Panther is gonna be the Black Panther. Like, it's more of a title rather than just that. So, but great. I mean, it was almost like a real life Black Panther experience where you saw the beauty of the culture. Now, we know it's not all historically accurate, and that's where a lot of people are trying to discredit the movie and stuff like that. But no,
speaking of think pieces,
no historical movie I've ever seen is historically accurate. You know, they have to make it entertaining. They have to create a bad guy, they have to create a villain, a hero, and so give it a rest. For any men who are fearful of this being an attack on Black men, get over yourselves. It's not. It is just a movie that shows a depiction of a historical group of people that were Black women, and it shows them in a strong light. There's no downplaying of men. It's beautiful. Like the wardrobe, the music, the cinematography. It's so many beautiful Black women of all hues and bills. I mean, you have one of the main characters has freaking cornrows the whole movie, and she still just and wasn't dolled up at all, but she still exuded beauty. And so I just loved it. So for any Black woman who wants to go out there, any Black man, but Black women, go see it. Don't let these men discourage you from going to see it. Black men, give it a rest. Women have to watch us do, you know, be heroes and all this stuff all the time. Go with them, take them, talk to them about it. Applaud them. Great movie. And I don't know how they released this in theaters. I know there's some white people mad. I'll leave it with that. So,
no, man, I've really been trying to go see it. That's a good take on it. I definitely got to make time for it. Only thing that I had is one, go Packers, go. we're recording this. This is how much we love y'all. For all our listeners out there, we're recording at 6:58 right now Central Time on Sunday afternoon for a 3 a.m. Monday drop. So we're gonna be editing pretty late and getting it out, but we had to make sure we got it out. But for all the football fans out there, the chance to maybe see two of the greats for the last time clash with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. It was a really good game. Came down to the wire. Came down to a 2-point conversion that, you know, it could have went either way for at least a tie. But the Packers pulled it out, so super excited about that. And the other thing is Dahmer. So if you guys haven't been able to check that out, it is a wild ride. I know everybody's talking about that, but if you just want to kind of get into the mind of where he is, it's a really good take on that and shows kind of, always, as we say, if you just had listened to the Black lady, a lot of this would have been avoided. But hey, obviously, hey, people
hey,
didn't.
Hey, 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 hey.
He's doing it. You're doing
what are you about
it.
To do?
You're doing it. You're giving it away.
this is Jeffrey Dahmer. This is not like no, some, this is not a movie.
But the details, the thing that you're about to give away, obviously, is very impactful in the series that you're about to talk about.
That was all I was about to say, if we listened to the Black lady. But it goes to people don't listen to Black people, especially Black women, like that, like cops and stuff like that. They will ignore some, you know, the minorities when they have something to say. And we talk about it all the time with like people not listening to Black women. Black women don't know their bodies. They go to hospitals and they're ignored by doctors and everything else. I'm talking about society and how we need to start listening to our Black women because a lot of times they know that intuition is there, or that historical knowledge, or just that them knowing or feeling or being observant is there. Maybe it's just being nosy. I don't know what it is, but either way it goes, we need to start listening to them a lot more, because had that happened, we would have been able to catch that killer a lot earlier. So that's all. That's all I got, man. I just wanted to bring that up, but it is a really good series if you're kind of into that true crime type of thing, psychological thrillers. It's a really good series to kind of take a look at. So check it out. So, oh, and for the goths out there, Wednesday is dropping on the 28th, I think, on Netflix. So everybody's that loves Adam's Family and everything like that, Netflix did a remake on that. It's called Wednesday. Check that out. It looks pretty dope. Other than that, man, that's all I got.
All righty. Well, I want to give a quick shout out to the Rho Beta Beta chapter of Omega Sci-Fi Fraternity Incorporated, because I said I want to go see The Woman King, but it was an event put on by the chapter for, it was like a family event. I was able to take about 20, 25 lamplighters and their family members, along with the brothers from the chapter, brought their families, and they rented out a theater and we were able to watch the movie. So great service. I appreciate it. We're going to keep doing some those kind of things, and especially around movies and things like that, where we can focus on Black representation. So So with that being said, we're going to jump into part two of the Battle of the Sexes, or should we say Reverse Battle of the Sexes. Hopefully you guys enjoy. Let us know what you think, and we'll talk to you at the end.
Let me take a step back. We're talking about the extremes, but most relationships don't work, right? Like, it's just 50% of marriages don't work. Dating, you know, dating doesn't work. You know, women, even the ones that like, I'm a good chick, I'm a catch, still attract a lot of trash ass dudes, and vice versa. I'm a catch, but I still catch track all these trash ass women. Why, you know, we're trying to make it easy, like, well, you know, if you're just leading with money, but there's a dating game that we're not mastering. It's still, you know, every time a relationship doesn't work, we're actually practicing, you know, we're practicing divorce, really. We're, you know, we date for a little while, doesn't work, I'm gone. You date for a little while, I'm gone. We just keep dipping. So why is there a struggle? Like, why are the good women and the good men not being able to find?
You already know the answer to that question, and that's exactly what it is, because you get out there and you're leading with something else. When you start dating, you don't start dating unless you started older and are being very intentional. But most people fall into relationships by mistake. Mm-hmm. And you didn't necessarily fall into that relationship off of the bed. It's not like you were at church in Bible study and saying, hey, we're going to live our lives like this forever. You did something and it was exciting. And a lot of times excitement is not the best thing for you. But then this is Lenny. I got this from Lenny. He said time and sex. I think that's what he said. I don't know. Time and sex equal love or something like that. So start spending a lot of time with somebody. Start having sex with that person. Next thing, you're in love with that person. You don't even know what that person likes to eat, really. You just know that you like hanging out with them and y'all have a really good time together. 5 years later, you find out that you're incompatible because you're not having sex as much as you did, and you don't really like even being together anymore.
Okay. I think people are not honest from the jump.
At all.
Or people, I have experienced this. I say what I don't want, and then people are like, I'm gonna be so good to her. She don't change
I'm gonna
her
be
mind.
So good.
Or guys, my guy friends have experienced that. They'll show you their true hand in the beginning, and then you'll be like, you know what? I really want that fish. And I'm gonna be so good to this fish that it's gonna change its mind and wanna live with me for forever.
I will tell you that I have that cautionary tale. Like, I have lived that. I'll be like, especially right now, I'm like, I don't have a lot of time. I'm a single dad. I'm always going. I'm active with my kids. I have a pretty successful job. It's stressful. I'm working long hours. You know, I'm on a couple of boards and I'm doing all this philanthropy stuff. Don't have a whole lot of time. I'm not going to be as attentive to you. And they're like, oh, no problem. Mm-hmm. And then when we don't talk for 2 days or whatever, it's a problem, right? It's like, I told you up front what it was, right?
But you need an older woman with something.
Those same
to
responsibilities
do.
That, yeah. Yeah.
An older woman who's like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah. So, but to go through this, the being able to be on the woman's side of things, I think when we talk about dating and looking for something, from the female perspective, I look at it as, yes, I am looking for the guy that's flashing the money, that has the nice cars, but I'm also along with that, I'm looking for the guy that can be attentive to me, that can spend time with me, that can give me those things. Because like Eb said, it's that I want to know he can provide for me. I want to know that he's financially stable, right? I want to know that I'm not going to be struggling if I get with him. I want to know that if I want to go on this trip, I can go on this trip, right? Like, I want to be able to live the Instagram life. Just it is what it is, that I want to be able to do those things. And if I can find the guy that can provide that for me and add to what I have today, then that's the guy I want. why would I not want that guy?
So the flip side, ladies, the argument I was looking for you guys to make was, just like men lead with their money, what about the women who complain that all guys wanted sex, yet they sexualize their bodies in such a manner that of course they're going to come to you for sex. Like if you're doing the pee challenge or three out of your four videos are twerk videos, you think they're not going to sexualize you? That's what I was looking for.
I think that's an extreme.
It's not. It was literally a pee challenge.
It's like the ass being the pee.
It trended. Well, that, the silhouette challenge, all these things. I mean,
I don't think it's anything wrong. I'm a feminist. I will say that through and through. You know, I am a super feminist, so you know, don't put me on any jury with anything. But I do think that women and men should be able to have a healthy, like on their platform or in their real life, they should be able to do whatever type of sexual pose or whatever the heck that they want to do. I don't know. I don't think that, I think that I do have some friends who kind of are super duper duper sexual online, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think with that person, it's a no-brainer that people would come to that person and want sex. But if you have a girl who likes to wear certain things and if she's super curvy and she's not necessarily like throwing herself at you online, you just find her very, very attractive no matter what she does, then is that really her fault?
No, that's fair.
Because I see guys all the time I see guys all the time I think very attractive. I don't have thoughts of wanting to lay up with them, though. I don't really fantasize about guys wanting to like have sex with them. But I can appreciate how attractive they are and then go about my day, and you know.
Well, guys are the exact opposite.
Yeah. So, We're not gonna go about the exact opposite.
It's like I said, Rizzy said, it's the smash zone. It's when a guy meets a woman, you know, within a matter of minutes, matter of seconds, when he first sees her, a lot of guys are going to put women to a certain category. It's, yeah, you don't have a problem getting a man in the club. Yeah, because niggas in the club trying to smash. It is what it is. You can call it what it is. It's because you're curvy. There's a lot of curvy women who are trying to be very modest with it. But if that dress fits the right way and your cleavage, like it's something about, I'm trying to smash. But then there's certain people, like they'll walk in a club, she'll be dressed really not, and it's just like, man, there's something about it. Still want to smash. Don't get it twisted. But it's still,
it's what you, is that definitive her, line with y'all?
I don't know. It depends on how much we had to drink and how curvy she is and the music that's playing. We don't know. We can't control it. But and I said this in the show before, men do not need an excuse or any help over sexualizing. When you give them added stuff, it's a no-brainer. Call me sexist, call me whatever you want. I'm just being real.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be anything, actually. You walked in the door.
Yes. And it's not your fault. It's not her. It's just, it is what it is. But then when you give us help, you wore the little red dress, or you wore the, like you did, whatever it is.
But it's that same thing when you look in the mirror and you like, ooh, I look good. Ooh, I'm sexy. When you walk out. And so don't
The reason you put on that dress.
Right.
You the exact put reason you put on that dress. You know, like you don't go out there, you can go to the club in a moo-moo tonight. You can go out there, whatever you wore in 1997, You can put that on if it still fits and wear it, but you're not going to wear it because you know how it's going to make you look. You don't want the attention that comes with that. And, you know, men, it's the same thing. We're going to peacock. We're going to go out to the club. We're going to put our jewelry on. We're going to put this, but we want to call her a gold digger if she approaches you, or, you know, she's looking at you. Like you said, you put on the uniform.
Because it's a dance. It's a ritualistic dance. And that's how you figure out who is who.
And but we have to respect the fact that we're dancing, because I think what we do is we blame the other sex. Like, all she wants is my money. But nigga, if every chick you've been with, all she wants is your money, then
you're leading with your money.
It might not be leading with it. You may be presenting that way, right? So you might not be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna flash my cash or I'm gonna buy you things or whatever.
That's
what I mean by lead. But what there may be just like, I like driving my Audi because I really like nice cars. It's not I'm trying to be flashy, right?
Or well, it wouldn't whatever. Just be the car. It would be some other things. It's some other things that you're putting out there in your ritualistic dance of attracting a mate. And then when we put on whatever we put on, we are trying to attract something to us. And whatever is coming together, you're going to get what you're putting out there. You know, if I accentuate what I consider to be my best asset and he likes what I think is my best asset, then that's what he wants. So usually, and unless, but then it comes into where it gets more technical for us and the people that we're talking about that are not on the outskirts of crazy, you know, you start to look at things and you say, okay, well, I was attracted to you because of this from whatever perspective, but now that I'm seeing you, even though I was attracted to you because of your attributes, I can see something else in you now, because both of you have decided that I'm going to either withhold some of what I'm having and showing. Like, you can see it, but you can't touch it. Same thing with the money. Okay, this is my money. You know I have it. Now, are you worthy enough for me to spend my money? You know, that's where we come together and say we're going to use our brain in this.
All righty. Last question. I know Buff got to go. This is what I always like, because I think it stems for a lot of our arguments. Women are just too emotional. And men are just too logical. Or
ooh,
lack
that's
of emotion,
gonna
whatever
hurt
you want to say.
Me. I got to say this from the male perspective?
Mm-hmm.
I'll
once again go first. From the woman's point of view.
Tell Ebony.
Well, Mr. Ebb, that is a complete myth, because all these myths that you men put upon women, you guys are just as bad, if not worse. You say we gossip, I've gotten the biggest tea from men. You say we're emotional, yet it's men that can't take when their woman cheats on them and they resort to murder or abuse. You guys are the emotional ones because you haven't learned how to deal with them. So when you do express these emotions, they come out in such a toxic way that it winds up harming other people. Versus when we women have our emotional breakdown, yeah, we may cry or we may argue and yell, but we're not physically harming people like you guys are by large percentages. And to go back to the other argument, that's why we don't feel protected, because y'all are killing us.
Well said. Very well said.
And Rise, I'm going to change it up a little bit for your point. Rise, I mean, Ebony, respond to Buff when he just said that bullshit that men just too emotional.
Come on,
man. More emotional than y'all. Respond to that. Respond to that nigga and let him know. That's you and your feelings now.
Well, we went to church.
Oh, Jesus. Can we circle back around to
this? Wow. Teresa, you want to respond? You want to be his mate?
Look, no. I'm trying to find my way, because all three of my exes have called me either cold or ice queen, and they've never met each other. Emotions is not my... That is not where I live at.
I'm sure you've heard that, though.
But you have female friends who probably lead with emotion. Byron, you were kind of taken to maybe the extreme. I'm just saying, a random conversation, it's you a lot of times make decisions based off emotions, you know, or you know, bad day at work, you're like, you're flustered, you come home crying, whatever that may be, like, it's just ruined, well, your boss has ruined your whole day.
I, as a man, was not raised, especially in the South, to deal with my emotions in a healthy manner. So normally they're compiled and then they combust. And they usually just combust around whoever is closest to me. Normally it's not going to be the people at work. Normally it's my wife, Buffy Boo, that's going to get the brunt of everything. Because emotions are not where I live at. And
what if he's not seeing that this deserves an emotional reaction? Some decisions we make just seem like it's the logical decision. Lee, kind of go with that. If you can go like, you're saying, I think this makes sense. Cause I think, fellas, that we all had a situation where just like, I can't believe we're having this conversation. Like this is just cut and dry. Like it's not, how are you upset? How are you sad? How did we get here? Like, why are you sad? Why do you think? Do you think I don't love you? Like, where are we going? How did we get here? Like, all of a sudden we made this turn. Because I think we're trying to justify the woman's emotions versus saying, hey, I understand you're emotional, but as men, sometimes I have to make these decisions based off of A, B, C, D or whatever. So kind of lead with logic. Remember the men are too emotional and men are too logical.
Yeah, as a man, I would be very like checklist with everything. You said you needed this thing. I completed this task. You said you needed B. I completed this task. And then the woman kind of wants you to go complete this task and then fall into the emotions of that task or whatever she wanted you to do and then go to B and then everything flows and then feel the moment. But like a lot of us men are, if we can get the list done that our wife wants us to have within a day, then we have succeeded in that day. When a lot of those lists don't involve the emotion and it really just sitting in certain things, which women tend to like to sit in the emotion. They want to know the why and the reason and stuff like that. But then the husband just wanted, like, I was a good husband because I did A, B, C, and D today. That's what I feel. I just don't feel that a lot of men. Now you have men who are raised around their mothers and their sisters and they really understand certain things. But most men are, I did a good job today because I completed all these tasks. And she's like, well, he seems like he's just going through the emotions. He just completed the tasks that I asked him to do. He didn't really seem like he cared about being present or mentally there or mentally available.
But I told you I had a bad day. So why didn't you come home and cook? Why did you still make me have to cook?
My day was just as bad as your day.
To me, that is the perfect freaking response. You had a bad day. I had a bad day, but I don't love you because I didn't cook. Like, how do we get here? Like, I'm tired. So am I. Like, that's what I'm saying is now it becomes an issue, and it's, well, because it's this started from a video that was shared with us where it was like, men, you need to understand that women are more emotional, yada, 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 yada. And I'm like, I can get it. Like, I've done better when I try to take myself out of it, my thought process, and try to understand what my wife is thinking or what she's going through. And I say that. I struggle sometimes because I'm trying to think what she's thinking versus what she's feeling. Two different things. So it's like I have to step back and do it again and say, okay, I know what she's thinking, but what is she feeling? That's a perfect example of an argument that can happen in a household and turn something over really quick. It's, I feel a certain way, so do I, but you should love me. If you really love me, you would have came home and cooked. And I'm like, Nick, we can order out for all I care. Like, I like that. Ebony, you told me you're tired too. Buff, what's your response?
I got nothing.
Teresa, Brizzy, what's your response?
So you're just as tired?
Yeah, like, I had a bad day too.
Right, but the expectations of me of cooking or doing whatever when we get home, that's a normal day expectation. So for me to have a bad day and still come home and do extra work versus you having a bad day and not having to do that extra work, I need help. I need some help from you that this day is not the day. And maybe I should have communicated earlier that, you know, I was going to need you to cook because it, you know, it's 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. I ain't got it in me. Pick something up on the way home, but you got dinner tonight. Like I should have communicated that, but I need you to help me right now.
Y'all like how Rodney slid that male argument in there just in case.
Right on, because right in there, and
it's not a maybe, but you should have told him.
Got nothing.
Hard, Teresa, ain't it? Like,
it's hard.
I can't argue this because it makes no sense. What makes no sense? It's absolutely asinine to believe that a grown man cannot read the room and understand these things. So I got nothing.
Why is it asinine when so many people say that it's a problem? So it can't be asinine. It's not out there like that.
Because they can be asinine.
Because we should yield to the way you feel.
It really, you know, we've made it very simple, but it was kind of going okay until Roz got to the point where was like, maybe I should have communicated earlier that no. What should have happened is from the very beginning, what makes us believe that I was responsible for dinner in the first place? I mean, let's start there because.
I was going to say, to help you out, let's go back to the original thing that women are more emotional than men.
Is she getting emotional now?
And as a male,
we can call it what we want to call it.
And as a male, defend that so-called, I'm putting in quotes, fact that women are more emotional. Can you do that?
I was having a problem with the logical because I was going, okay, wait a minute. Women are emotional, but men are logical.
You don't like
that's not easy.
But do you feel, Byron?
Hold on, because I just saw something the other day, and it talked about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, a female.
Please not and don't do Donald Trump.
He's a male.
But what?
You brought it up. You got it.
Okay. So all these Instagram models. I mean, we're talking about the crazy extremes.
I know, because
I know what she's about to say. She's about to make a really good point.
Did you say? And so everyone talks about women cannot be leaders because we're emotional. We make emotional decisions. We're not logical. And that, you know, when you use the word logical, I was like, wait a minute. Do you know who I'm married to? And let's back that up.
He's an extreme too.
So when Hillary lost the presidency, it just went over all the things that she did when she lost. And they were all very productive. They were productive things. And then when Donald Trump lost the presidency, we all know what he did. And everything that he did was emotional and illogical. And he wanted everybody else to buy into that. So if we're making the generalization that women are emotional, but men are logical, and that's why they can lead families and be leaders, then that's a perfect example of that's not true.
Okay, I'm gonna.
Y'all can be off the Donald Trump train, but before he became president, a lot of y'all, he was in our music. He was in our music video.
He was in our culture.
In Home Alone, he was everywhere. You know what I mean?
And he got a lot of passes. I mean, you know, everybody forgot about he wanted to kill, you know, the black men in Central Park and all of that because, you know, we tend to forget things like that as a culture. But, you know, and I use that example just because it's very convenient for people to talk about how irrational and emotional women can be. But as Buff stated, you know, and I don't want to, you know, d- all that. But, you know, we tend to be emotional creatures. But when we use the word emotional, it is because our emotions lead us in ways, but a lot of times inside of the realm of what you're talking about, they're controlled most of the time, unless you're talking about these crazies. Our emotions help us raise our children. Our emotions keep our mates safe. You know, we use that to live in, and it creates some balance. But it's hard for me to argue that you all, that men and who I'm, the role that I'm supposed to take right now, that it's a logical. So, what I could possibly say is that it's less emotional. I wouldn't say it's logical. I think that you all are not in, that I'm going to say that I am not in tune with my emotions. And Ebony stated earlier that boys are usually raised to detach from emotion because emotion makes you weak. So we as men, because I'm a man right now, I've had to detach from my emotions so that I can operate in a way that society does not call me weak. So I have to talk with my spouse in a way that seems like I'm in control. And it seems like I'm doing these things, but they're just really, I just didn't connect.
Yeah,
I like that because
I think a lot of times the idea of men aren't emotional, it's not that men aren't emotional, but men only tap into the negative emotions.
Anger.
Anger, rage. We use those emotions all the time, right? When we're playing sports and you get like, oh, I got to get big, you know, oh, let's do this. We tap into emotions all the time, but we can't tap, like you said, we can't seem weak. So we don't tap into the softer emotions.
So...
My female or you know, the woman perspective on it is just that. It's guys are just as emotional. I think Buff said it, right? Guys are just as emotional. Women are just as logical. The thing that comes down to it is women show their full spectrum of emotions where guys suppress those softer emotions for one reason or another. And logically, that presents itself as logic, but it's not. All it is that you aren't using those softer emotions. So a lot of times you're making decisions that aren't truthfully logical because you've ignored that emotional spectrum, because emotions actually do lead to a lot of your decisions, right? But if you're ignoring that softer side, then your decisions that you're making may not be the best for the family or whatever. It may not be the most logical thing that comes about because the emotions aren't attached to it.
Okay. So a couple of things. We can change it to less emotional or whatever Teresa prefers. But you made it seem like that was the first time you've heard that. So we're talking and we've talked a bunch of generalizations. So let's be honest. Like the scenario I just gave, even though you said it was asinine, the three guys on here said, like, yeah, that sounds like something that maybe not that exact argument, but something that could really happen.
It
and just
was
like
more the example, the whole idea that this one person is responsible for dinner and that another person can just check out of it is what are we talking about?
That's the assumption in most households, though.
No, not even that. It's if there was already the assumption, because I'll tell you how it works in my household. I'm responsible for dinner Friday through Sunday. I usually cook a big meal Sunday, and therefore Z probably doesn't have to cook till Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever the case may be. She's responsible for meals through the weekday. That's just how it works. I'm saying that because if there was an assumption that she, whether it's right or wrong, this is how their household runs. If there was an assumption that she was cooking dinner and that was an assumption, and all of a sudden it's, you change that, that's fine. It's, hey, I'm feeling bad. I don't want to. Like Roger said, there's an option of kind of telling me ahead of time as well, rather than you like, I'm not cooking tonight, figure it out. That was kind of a little emotional outburst.
It was. That's a temper tantrum. But it wasn't really explained that way.
But we didn't get a chance. It was just, hey, you know, I had a bad day at work. Can you cook dinner? And then you made your own scenario, and it's like, so why is she cooking dinner and all
exactly
this? Like,
yeah. Now, Ferg, I'm going to have to walk you back on that one. It wasn't exactly, it was a whole exchange, and Buff brought it all the way home. He did a very good job. And then Roz came back and he hit me with the, which gave me an emotional response, which was, maybe I should have told you earlier.
He slid it in there too.
Like
he slid it in there.
Because
That was a logical response. That actually, no, that scenario has happened in my house before. Like with Jen, that has happened in my house. And so you're talking about the assumptions.
I can
like,
feel it.
That was the assumption. She was a housewife, right? So that was the assumption. And when it would be the frustration that I would get that I drove all the way home, got in the house, and she said, I don't feel like cooking tonight. You got dinner. When I could have stopped on the way home, when I could have got something, but now it's on me.
Of a temper tantrum. But when you put all of the facts out like that, it makes a little bit more sense. Because again, I've been a housewife before too. I understand, you know, there's certain things that I'm responsible for as a housewife. But when I'm explaining something to you, there's supposed to be a conversation. And I guess the expectation on that end was, you know, I told you something that I expected, because actually I hadn't said this tonight, but all of these things boil down to expectations on both sides.
Yeah.
It's the expectation of whichever, the male or the female, of something to happen. And the expectation here is, I expect, as the male here, I expect things to be going as normal. You told me something, but I still think that things are going to go as normal. But in the other person's mind, it was, I told you something and you were supposed to internalize that and come up with something to lessen that for me, but you didn't. So those expectations were not met. And that's where we all ended up.
I thought Sister Girl was corporate America. She was a housewife.
Even if she was, I think the assumption was she was cooking dinner that night, right? Like that was her night to cook dinner, whether they alternated, whatever. That was her night to cook dinner.
Logical or emotional, we have no idea. It was just out there and we kind of felt some type of way. I mean,
I think me and Teresa's mind went to, why is these gender roles kicking in and Sister got a job?
So y'all got emotional. You gravitated, you created a whole scenario.
We tapped into that emotion and emotion.
Y'all created a whole scenario. Emotions, and in our mind, it's just, hey, I don't have a problem. Just tell, like, he slid it in there. That was his maleness. Mm-hmm. It's, how hard is it just to say, can you pick something up? I had a rook. And in your mind, like you said, and this is the purpose of this, was to say what you just said. It's not that one person's right or wrong. It's expectations. Mm-hmm. But we're so big on trying to make sure our expectation is met and make sure that it's considered right on both sides, that we lose a bigger issue. It's, I had a bad day, and miraculous, you know what? She had a bad day. Let me pick up dinner. Maybe I'm stupid. I'm asinine, and I didn't read the room, and I didn't pick up dinner. Could I have done it? Yes, but in the same token, she could have said, "Hey, I had a. Can you please pick up something? I don't care. I'm checked out." Both. I'm not saying one is right, one is wrong, but we will argue that point. And I still feel like you're still kind of like,
I'm more like, I just want to help all the men out that may be listening to this. And that is, whatever the expectation is, women want to feel like you know them. That's it. We want to be with someone who we
guys are oblivious.
You know me. But that's why we tell you. We tell you, we tell you, we tell you, we tell you, we tell you. We want you.
You told me to pick something up.
That's all you had to tell me. I need a checklist. I need a checklist. If you tell me.
If we tell you, then you could be anybody.
See, the thing about it, you're trying to push your expectation of the situation.
Think about some things that you need. What are some things that men need that they feel like only their spouse can give them? And that's kind of what the balance is. It's, you know, there are things that only your spouse can give you. And I think one of those things that women feel is they want to feel that connection with you. They want to feel something that says, I chose well and we are connected. You know, that's why people walk around, I'm soulmate, this.
I think that kind of goes back to the whole the protection thing, right? So it might not be protection from the violence, but it might be protection. I had a bad day and I need somebody to come wrap their arm around me and say, I got you, babe. I'm going to pick up dinner. I'm going to do this. Come and protect you from that perspective. Exactly. I get that. I get that. What we're trying to get y'all to understand, though, is there's a lot of stuff going on and sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we do.
Just because, like, the second part is like, I had a bad day too. So my mind is not firing on all cylinders thinking like, how can I make Teresa's day better? I'm just trying to get home too and get, because I'm tired too. Not making this excuse, but in your mind, you're still seeing it as he should have did this. Your question was, what do men need? I think the closest thing I can compare that to is men want to feel needed. And sometimes it's stroking that ego or whatever that case may be. But let's say you're not stroking my ego. I'm having a bad day. Work's going bad. You're not stroking my ego enough. But in your mind, you're stroking it enough. To me, you should have known that I had a bad day. My boss is on my ass. To think about it, and you should have said something nice that made me feel like the man, but you didn't. And now I feel like my wife doesn't appreciate me, my kid. But I'm mad at you because you should have known I needed you at that moment.
And that's important.
But you didn't do it. And it's think about it. We can't, it's dangerous. And I read the article one time. It said the number one reason marriage break up is because of unrealistic and unmet expectations. Mm-hmm. And that's where I was going. It's like, I think it helps us if we realize that everything you said is right, but it also can be wrong and vice versa. Mm-hmm. It's two people can be right and two people can be wrong at the same time.
Right.
And I think that last conversation is a perfect example of why we bump heads. We want to make it the same way you argue Hillary's case. Trump is, what number of Trump president is Trump, Byron?
45.
So we had 44 other men that didn't do what Trump did. But in your world, that was a perfect example of leading how men, you know, the president of the United States, we had 44 other dudes that did it the right way.
Hillary wasn't a good example, that wasn't a good example.
Well, she was the only woman example.
It's not perfect. It's A. And because that's the only time ever. It's the only time in history ever. But then we could also unpack why it's the only time ever.
Shirley Chisholm.
But we don't have enough time for that. That's a whole other conversation. It's a whole other conversation.
I think that each one of us on the male and the female spectrum want a certain level of intuitiveness from the other partner for them to just know.
Yeah,
it don't even have to be a full speech. It don't have to even be a full sentence. It's body language. It's the tone. It's the deep breaths. Oh, I can hear it in her voice. Today was not a good day. I can hear it in his voice. Somebody cut him off on the way home. You know, I got this, babe. Did you get dinner already? If you didn't, I got it. Don't worry about it. I'm on my way home. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I also think that it's a little bit of going back to that whole submissive thing. A lot of people misconstrue submissives with subservient, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like we said, that assumption of the guy was supposed to protect me and do what I needed to do, but the guys are like, well, she's submissive and she's going to be me. She's subservient to me. So I had the bad day. She needs to cook. She needs to get over it. She needs to make sure I'm taken care of.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. Because at one point, we talked about her bad day. We just blew over his bad day. Nobody asked how his day went. Like, it just went, she had a bad day, and these are all the things that he should have did to try to make her day better. He said, I had a bad day too, and we completely blew over that. And I'm not trying to stand up for him. But did we not just like, okay, you had a bad day, but back to why does she gotta cook, you know?
Every time. And again, I know Buff is like, I gotta get off of this call, but every time every time a wife has a bad day, then the husband, I had a bad day. Every time. You can never, it never, ever, 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 ever.
Generalizations.
Ever, ever.
Generalizations.
Okay. To Buffy, who should have been, you want to talk about it.
Yes.
Simple. Because if Shim gives me a no, then to me, it's not a no, it's a not right now. You know what I mean? And then I'm like, okay, well, I kind of understand based on that answer, what I'm about to meet when I get home. So then it lets me know what's the next question. What needs to be done between now? What task for our household needs to be done between now and the time I get home? Dinner.
Yeah. So how do we handle that? Now that becomes a question. Of course, you had a bad day, so I had a bad day. Teresa feels like it's a trap.
Let's say he had a bad day too.
But once again, because we don't know how to deal with emotions, we just don't talk about it. We don't bring up I had a bad day, because what's the point of me? I just told you I had a bad day. You gave zero f**ks and told me I needed to go get dinner anyway. So why would I tell you I had a bad day?
Why would Buffy? If I say, do you want to talk about it? Because that's my natural response. I'm speaking to me if I was a man. I don't know how to. So if I say, do you want to talk about it? They say no. I understand that there are certain things that needs to get done between my drive home and the time I get home. E.I. dinner, E.I. kids getting books read home, whatever. I'm going to say, well, what all were you able to get done today? I'm going to get dinner, get home. We're going to sit on this sofa. I'm going to throw them size 10 women feet in my hand, and we're going to rub them feet out. And by the end of that night, most likely a conversation will be had. It's all on how you meet someone and how you communicate. I just choose peace all the time.
You sound like a great husband,
I'm coming back.
But your wife sounds like trash because she didn't acknowledge your emotions.
Hey. You watch how you talk about my Buffy.
There you go.
Protect your.
I feel protected. I feel protected. Yeah, I feel protected.
But I joke with that because that seemed one sided still though, right? Did we work together? Because we talked about this. We're a team. Competition. You know, like Teresa just competed. Her day was worse than my day. I complain. When she complains, I complain. It's a competition. Here's that competition that women don't do that we just saw an example of, right?
I don't think so. No.
Was that not a competition?
This is relationships. It's not always this. This is the balance beam is not always 50-50.
So if today you call and say you had a bad day and I don't pick up dinner today, how is that supposed to, in a balancing relationship? You had a bad day, I had a bad day, you were scheduled to pick up dinner. In a balanced relationship with you caring for him and him caring for her, how is that supposed to go?
Whoever the hungriest.
Well, I mean, we're in 2022, so I can just come straight home, truthfully, and I can DoorDash and stuff. But it's a conversation, conversation and communication fix like 96% of people's issues. And sometimes it'll fix it to a point where you're like, you know what? We are two totally different people. This relationship is not working because we just had a conversation and realized we were two totally different people. Let's leave it where it be at and go our separate ways. That is perfectly okay too. I'm all for those situations. Communication will fix so many things. I'm going to get home and I'm going to talk. But I have my moments when I'm like I said, if I say no, I'm okay, or I don't want to talk. It's not I don't want to talk, period. It's I don't want to talk right now. I don't like talking when my emotions are really high. No. I don't like talking while I'm angry. I've never disciplined my kids when I'm upset with what they did at that moment. That's how kids get hurt. That's how people get hurt. That's how relationships break. You know what I mean? Emotions will supercharge some very bad choices. So, you know, if Buffy Boo don't want to talk right now, we're gonna figure it out, because my Buffy not going to sleep with that on her pretty little heart. No, sorry, Bob, not in this house. You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's just talk it. Just
and that's why we work.
That's why we work.
I don't hate Ferg right now, but I love Ebony. And that whole thing, because that whole scenario went completely left, because it sounded like this in my head. What's for dinner? I had a bad day. I ain't cooking dinner. Well, I had a bad day too. I'm like, well, what kind of conversation was that?
Listen. But did you hear Buff talk?
It went in circles, and then I think the whole trigger was, you know, the whole
Rising.
When Ross did that.
I told Teresa right out of the situation. Rising. She's like, I can't do this anymore. This scenario is out.
Rising argued for the women, but then threw in that little male caveat. I mean, she could have told me. A little soon.
I mean, you can't tell me. I'm like, whoa. What is this?
He could have. That's that competition talk. That is no good.
Exactly. And once again, both sides can do it. All right, we're back. Let's go ahead and close it out. For anybody that listened to that, I'm pretty sure you were entertained. Got a little testy there at the end. But hey, that's what we do. We're going to bring it back. I think we need to do something like this more often, because I know there's a lot of women and even men that want to have those conversations. And we've been challenged by a couple of guys. I don't know if you guys saw it, where they still think we are that the male side still is not getting any love. Like we try to avoid their truth. So we'll have to bring it back. So with that being said, bros, let's go ahead and close it out.
I want to thank Teresa, pardon me, Dr. Teresa, and Ebony Taylor for coming on. So Dr. Teresa Givens, right? And
yes.
Ebony Taylor for coming on. We appreciate you ladies doing this show with us. The only thing I got is right before we came to record this, I was watching a portion of This Week on ABC with George Stephanopoulos. And I'm sorry, I can't believe what I'm hearing. Like, it's two things that's beginning to annoy me. One, let's listen. There really is no difference between a Republican and a MAGA Republican. You can stop saying those two like they're two different things. Right now, it's Trump's party. So a MAGA Republican, a Republican, it's the same thing. Okay. Second, I can't believe we still have prominent Democrats that feel like, oh, he's fading, he's losing his touch, he doesn't have the same influence and all this stuff. People are going to come around because he incited an insurrection. I cannot believe I'm hearing this. Like, how many times do the voters and everybody have to show you all? Like, if you look at the poll numbers right now between Warnock and Herschel Walker, that tells you everything you need to know. Why do y'all keep doubting this party? It's why I say y'all lose. Stop doubting the Republican Party, because they're going to show up. Okay? I mean, I'm just flabbergasted at the comments I'm seeing on this show. Like, you know, he's losing his touch. We're going to win this. Like, okay, we'll see. You know what? We'll see. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Because the thing is that we think with this, or we the Democrats think with this logical lens of, you know, oh, they're talking all kind of crazy stuff. Nobody would go for that. The problem is that those mainstream Republicans that you talk about that they're trying to differentiate don't go for it, and they don't care. They're still going to vote for the Republican. And the ones that do go for it, they're actually churning up their base or that fringe. And they're adding voters to it. So guess what? Now you have to go against that mainstream Republican that knows that it's fringe and it's crazy, but they're still going to get what they want out of the platform. And you got to worry about who they're ginning up versus our normal base that actually they're starting to win some of our normal base over with some stuff, or at least they're disenfranchising them, or they're getting them where they're like, eh, well, I just won't vote at all. That's what they did with the Hillary thing. Right.
Yeah.
They were behind a lot of that negative ad to say, just don't go vote because you don't like Hillary. Like they're smart. They're politically smart. And we've got to figure out a way to get around that. If you want to win,
they have to have a stronger response to this inflation and things, because there may be things that voters don't like about Trump or the Republican Party. But what they dislike even more is how much more is coming out of their pocket when they go to the store and buy things. So they definitely got to address that, and I don't think they've been addressing it properly.
They haven't. So I got a little bit about that. I mean, since we're talking about MAGA Republicans and conservatives and let's just, you know, throw it all the way to the right then and just talk about racism in general. And I want to talk about our young people and black young people, actually, who feel we're in a post-racial society. I don't know if you guys heard about the backlash with Ariel and Halle Bailey. Her boyfriend literally made a statement that said, I thought we were past this and we were post-racial society. I thought all this ended with Martin Luther King. That's what this kid said.
Is her boyfriend white?
No, her boyfriend's black. But he's also like 21.
Bless his
heart. Is he black? Like that's black or... Well, me and Byron black?
Or? Like us black. Like, yeah, black. But that goes to that mentality of the kids, you got to think these 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds even grew up not even hearing the stories, right? Not really feeling that emotion from the 60s and 70s like we did, right? Like our parents lived it. And so they brought that to us. Now, these kids are our kids, right? And we didn't talk about it as much because we didn't live it, right? We just heard about it from our parents, and it's very secondhand to them. And so they really do feel like, because they're living in a bubble, they live in their best life, they can move way better than what, you know, we could and what our parents could, that they're fine. And they just don't see it. And unless they are really exposed to it, they don't see the issues that we run into. So parents, be transparent with your kids. Like, call out racism, call out things, and show them what's happening. Don't try to protect them from it, because if you try to protect them from it, they're going to think that everything's fine and they're going to make statements like that. So that's all I got, man. Just make sure that we aren't putting blinders on our kids and we're trying to protect them to a way that they don't actually see what's really happening in the world.
Definitely want to talk about that on another episode. Because I feel like there's a lot to unpack there. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. All I have is I want to say belated happy birthday to my beautiful wife, Sabrina. She just turned 35 this past week. And we tried to celebrate. I tried to celebrate her and give her all the love and everything she deserved this week. But of course, I'm always fall short because she's such a great person. But happy birthday, babe. Thank you guys for listening. Three Brothers No Sense. You know what it is. Six Rules of Podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment. And most importantly, listen again. I might have did five. I don't remember. All right. Talk to you next week.